Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I am the Mark.
Across no, you're not. We didn't name it after you.
You did,
we
too.
We did don't, not. We've had this argument before.
First, it wasn't you. You weren't involved in the decision making.
I was, too.
You weren't even present at the meetings.
So. I was there.
You were at one meeting.
I was at all meetings.
No, you were not. Anyway, well, whether I'm not, I'm the Mark. I am Mark and he is Joe. And we're just glad that we didn't name it after somebody named John.
John, right. We've decided that before. Right.
Nobody wants to.
But some days it sounds like that may be where we're coming from.
Yes, we're flush with bad comments sometimes. On
I
the
was
mark.
Thinking of something else, but go ahead.
Yeah, we're number two in the market for a couple of reasons. All right.
We dispense a lot of it.
1-800-795-9565. Not, I repeat, N-O-T, K-N-O-T, not just random numbers. The Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, Norrie Pharmacy, Northumberland, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Lewisburg, of course, Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. They offer personalized service on a first-name basis. Every dollar spent there locally gets locally spent 10 times over. So if you are in Mount Pleasant Mills and you're thinking, I want to walk to a pharmacist, then you need to just go up a couple blocks on Route 35 to the Shade Mountain Pharmacy. If you're in beautiful downtown Mifflinburg, join the dozens of people who walk along Route 45 or Cheston Street to Trutz Pharmacy.
I think they ought to change the name of Mifflinburg to Trutville. And then they would say
like
either Trutz Pharmacy in Trutville.
Right. Or maybe call, they call the Norrie Pharmacy. They named the town of Northumberland
after the
Norrie Pharmacy.
Right.
Yep. So if you're in Northumberland, you can walk up Route 147, which is Duke Street, which is wide open at the Norrie Pharmacy. If you're on the Market Street Plaza area in Bloomsburg or within blocks of there, you can go to the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. Or you can go see the Lewisburg Pharmacy on 2nd Street in Lewisburg. And they would just love to see you go to them, but they also go to you. Some of the pharmacies offer delivery. Some of them have drug take-back boxes, and they all offer the precise same thing, personalized super service. So that's our hometown pharmacies, super serving their customers in a big way all the time, and they are a sponsor of our toll-free line, which is now open, 1-800-795-9565, on the mark sponsor by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacies toll-free line open, 1-800-795-9565. Email us, as one individual has done, at onthemark@wkok.com. And you can text us at 70236. That's the Text Connect system. Now, we use it to send out about a dozen messages a month about breaking national or local news. It is an opportunity for you to stay in touch with us. We send you a text message that says we've just posted a story at wkok.com, and it can be a major national breaking story, or it could be a major local story, or closed roads around here, or tornadic weather, something along that line. So we keep you informed in that way. So it's just one of the ways that we stay in touch with you, and you can stay in touch with us.
Well, yesterday at the end of the program, Tony was on, and we had the theme music was on, when I think, when he started his call, and he didn't get to finish his thought, and I think he did finish it on a text to us, or an email. He says, why is it so important to see President Trump's tax return? Really, it's no one's business. The president is under no legal obligation to release his tax returns to anyone. The Treasury Department's position is this, quote, those included constitutional limits on gaining access to private tax returns and the asserted purpose for seeking the records. That's it. Just suppose if he did release them, 95% of those clamoring for the release wouldn't understand them anyway. They would need to be explained to them by an expert and talking heads who I'm sure would have no agenda. Face it, the Mueller investigation is over. They found nothing. Get over it. It was amazing to watch the Democrats in the Senate. All they are accomplishing is the destruction of a once great party, and just wait till it gets to the kitty table of government, the Democrats in the House. Do you or does anyone think the Congress is ever going to get around to governing, legislating, or the real business of government? Mm. Signed, Tony. Excellent point. Did you watch any of Barr yesterday? You probably did.
A tiny bit. Okay. No, and I've heard excerpts since then and commentary about it. So.
Well, you know, some of the time I thought he was very masterful. Other times I thought he was genuinely evasive. You know, I came away with kind of mixed feelings about it. Although I do think that the letter that Mueller... signed by Mueller, whether it was written by Mueller or not, I don't know. Did you read that letter?
No, I still haven't read the full letter.
No, it's not. It's a very easy read. It's like a page and a paragraph, and mm-hmm. that's it. He described the letter as...
snitty.
Snitty. Yeah, I like that word, snitty. Someone who's in a snit. I didn't come away with that impression of the letter. I mean, it was certainly not cordial or friendly. It was strictly business. I mean, it was like A to B to C to D, and I didn't think it was nasty or anything like it. He certainly didn't accuse Barr of anything in the letter. He just said that people, that the summary he... laid out didn't catch the full scope. Well, a summary isn't going to catch the full scope of the report, is it?
That's why they call it a summary.
So, I mean, to me, this is absolute absurdity, okay. What's going on in Washington. The report's out there. It's been released. Whether Barr slanted it toward the president or slanted it away from him or whatever he did in that four-page summary put out, it's moot. The report's out there. Make your own opinions. And to have Klobuchar and Hanori or whoever that woman is from Hawaii is absolutely horrible and mean and nasty. What's her name? Senator Aranu?
I don't remember.
Aranu.
So they finally had to kind of cut her off.
Well, they should have cut her off. I mean, she really was beyond belief. You know, you could still be civil to people even if you disagree with them. And I can't think of the guy's name. He's mean looking. He's a senator. The guy who lied about his Vietnam War record, he's there calling Barr a liar. I loved it. The irony was absolutely astounding. Here's a guy who lied for years about his Senator Blumenthal. Mm-hmm. I mean,
he's a big deal.
Yeah, well, you know, and then it just was amazing to me. Well, you're a liar. Well, of course. Well, no, I was just...
I'm not a liar.
I just misspoke.
Well, yeah, and you know, I kind of walk away from this wondering, how much more are we going to have to endure? Are we going to do more? You know, we know that the House is doing more investigations, so... What's going to come of it? And we still, some people want the president's tax returns. Of course, that's a legal fight now. One of our listeners called yesterday and said that you should not release, or you don't have to release your tax returns, or you can't. It's illegal to release your tax returns when you're being audited. It's not illegal. It's just, according to almost every expert, it's just a terrible idea.
Well, yeah, it would be stupid. Why would you want to give the government, let's suppose people started picking it apart, and some guy from the IRS said, oh, I didn't think about that.
Okay. Well, I guess that's a factor. But, you know, the IRS may be able to pick it apart on their own. But they talked about one of the good clippings that Rob found related to the fact that how significantly it can hurt you in business because some of your investments and so on show where your emphasis is and show where you're headed, where, you know, you sort of your business vision. Well, we got two calls coming in on this, and we the little green light is blinking on our commercial log saying it's time to start thinking about a break. So let's do that thought. So let's get three or four callers on this topic. And we're talking about the Barr testimony and the lack of Barr testimony today, so that won't be happening in the House.
I don't blame the guy.
So, well, he doesn't want to be grilled. 1-800-799-
Well, he was grilled and roasted yesterday.
1-800-795-9565. Your reflective thoughts on the Barr testimony. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. WKOK
Live telephone talk show on the mark.
I'm Mark Lawrence. Super great music. Every time this comes up, I'm frozen. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. This is Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Well, that's good information. Thank you so very much.
I'd say late 70s, something like that.
78, 79?
Oh, maybe even earlier. All right. 1-800-795-9565. Thanks for waiting through the break. Cindy, you're on the mark.
A gracious good morning to both of you.
Thank you.
You know, the great thing is that while these buffoons in Washington, D.C. are engaging in these behaviors, they're not doing anything to us.
Well, that's true.
Well, same with the Harrisburg salamander thing.
How about Harrisburg has $800 million in tax revenue they didn't anticipate having? It'll be interesting to see what they choose to do with that.
That'll be gone by next week. They'll find something.
Well, I think they should put it towards the pension. They've dug this enormous hole. They could make a serious dent in that. It's like when you win the lottery, you should pay off your mortgage. That's what I think, anyway. That's what you should use the money for. Pay off some debt. And for the state, that is a massive debt that hangs over us. It would benefit every single Pennsylvanian to do that. But, of course, that's probably not what they're going to do with the money. They'll dig a deeper hole because the next year they won't have it, but they'll have created an obligation, quote-unquote, to come up with another $800 million to fund heaven only knows.
Just as when Governor Rendell got that windfall for education, or that windfall, he put it into education, and then the Democrats blamed Corbett when he didn't have another $1 billion to put in the next year.
Well, what he did, let's be fair, is that he took away the state tax dollars that went to education and substituted the federal ones, and that's how he made the big hole.
Well, that's
true.
Because
the next year, there were no state dollars. That was the big hole he dug, kind of covered it over. Kind of like when you watch those things where they're trapping the animal in the woods and they dig a ditch and then they lay some branches and leaves over it. That's pretty much what he did to the taxpayers.
But that isn't why you called.
Well, I called to say, hey, what these legislators do not seem to grasp, as far as I'm concerned as a third-party observer, is they say they reveal more about themselves often than they do about the person they're interrogating. I think that's the fascinating thing, to watch their behavior. So many of them don't attend the hearing, so they repeat questions, which shows you they're not actually participating. And then some of them ask questions. For example, Maxine Waters, although she wasn't in the bar hearing, she's the chairman of another committee. She, Representative Waters, she pulled the her committee, she's the chairman, she pulled in all these bankers. And then she opened the hearing by proceeding to ream them out about the student loan issue. Ironically, forgetting that the banks no longer do the student loans. The student loans are run through the federal government. A decision made during the Obama era and passed as a Christmas tree on the Unaffordable Health Insurance Act. So, and she was a participant in all of that, and yet she forgets all of that and then brings in people who have nothing to do with it now and proceeds to try to ream them out about it. I found it amazing. You know, the interest rate they charge on these student loans, and this is the federal government, is 6.8%. So is it in their power to reduce that interest rate to help the people? Sure it is. Now, during Obama's time, he put in policies that said if you pay your debt for 10 years, if you're on time with every payment for 10 years, they'll start forgiving you the rest of it. So I can't see making a change in how they're handling that. I think that's ridiculous. You accrued the debt. You should pay the debt off. You're the one with the value.
Right. Well, you're right about them. The questioners revealing more about themselves than they get out of the person they're questioning. We discussed Maxine Waters, and I never saw a turnaround so quick in my life as when that banker reminded her that they had nothing to do with the student loans. Then she became all sweetness and light, and wanted to know what they could do maybe to help.
But, right. Or that senator that you spoke of yesterday, who I understand really crossed the line. Now, I get it that they have apparently passed a law that they can say anything they want about anyone or anything, and they cannot be held liable for it, which is how Harry Reid went on the floor of the Senate and accused Romney of criminal acts, and then it wasn't true, and he just shrugged. You know, he couldn't be held responsible for these inflammatory and defaming things that he said. But is that really what the function of government is, to bring in one group after another whenever they get, you know, raise their heads
and grill them.
And slam them? Is that really what I expect out of my government? No, I don't see that as their function
Good
at all.
Government. Yeah, we're supposed to be moving the country forward.
And how does this do that? I'm a loss to understand that.
Oh, I can explain this.
I get they're disappointed. They were hoping for a crucifixion. And they're not going to get it. And so they've decided to put on a show, you know, to compensate themselves for not getting the crucifixion that they wanted. But I think it's irresponsible. And as they do this, have they passed legislation to make people provide their income tax returns if they want to run for political office? No.
Well,
one of these people? Anyone? No. So,
well, and this emphasizes something you talked about earlier, the fact that now we're going to lose Fred Keller, where he's I'm going to call it influential state House member, and I don't mean...
He got on the board of the pensions.
Right. He's a common sense guy. He understands spreadsheets. Now we're going to send him to Washington where nothing's going to happen.
Oh, well, that was so selfish of me. I kind of regret it. I believe that Mr. Keller had risen to the point where he was actually going to make a difference in Harrisburg,
mm-hmm.
and a positive difference
sure.
in Harrisburg. And he has every right to pursue the things that he wants to pursue. Frankly, you know, it's a real act of courage to get down there and deal with that craziness. You know, you don't see many people who...
Well, he was already making people nervous on the Peacers board when they found out somebody was coming on the board who understood balance sheets. They're like, oh, my God, what are we going to do?
Oh, yes. And I was like cheering when
Evacuate.
I saw that Mr. Keller had been put on the Peacers board. I thought, now we're talking.
Yeah, the CEO.
Now we'll have some, at least a voice. I've been that lone voice in other things, and I realize people get very upset because there are entrenched parties, and they don't want change. They worked hard to get it their way, and they're not willing to put up with anybody coming in and changing it. I mean, I've been called that the outsider who's come in here to ruin everything. I get how what a challenge that is. The tricky thing is there's a balance, right? And when you get to being one of 400-some people, your voice is lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I cite, for example, Ron Paul or that other man, Dennis Kucinich. Wasn't that his name who opposed
ran for
war?
President.
Right. Speaking of wars, we have no business interfering in Venezuela.
That's
Those
another topic.
People have a right to their independence, and nobody came and said to the United States, to us as colonies, you can't have this independence.
Mm-hmm.
And those people have every right to rise up and deal with it in whatever way they see fit. And it certainly isn't appropriate for us to send troops down there to interfere in that situation. We've done that so many times with no success. It's just ridiculous to be thinking about doing it again.
All right. Noted. Thank you so much, Cindy. Thanks for calling in. All right, appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565.
I was fascinated by the way both CNN and Fox handled Barr's testimony yesterday. I sent you two stories, one from Fox, their lead story, and then one from CNN, their lead story. CNN starts off with, Donald Trump was right. He can get away with almost anything, a factor that is likely to mean an even more unchained presidency over the next 18 months. All the reasons why Democratic efforts to check the president will likely fail were revealed in Attorney General William Barr's trial by fire on Capitol Hill on Wednesday, and his refusal to submit to a second round before the fired-up House majority on Thursday. And where Fox said House Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler did something Wednesday that Americans have not seen since Senator Joseph McCarthy threw democracy aside, running roughshod over rules, fellow members of Congress, and due process in the 1950s. Nadler ignores House rules, dismissed Republican motions, and refused 40 attempts to permit committee debate, regular order, and amendments so he could get the Democratic majority on the committee to impose the unreasonable requirement that Attorney General Barr be questioned by a Democrat and a Republican attorney when he was scheduled to testify Thursday morning. See the difference?
Well, they're both commentaries. They're not straight news articles, but they're good commentaries.
They're published as news articles.
They don't indicate that they're opinion?
No.
Neither says they're an opinion. Fox says this is the actual news, and CNN said that's the actual news.
Well, now, I will admit that Fox, or rather that CNN says analysis by Stephen Collison, CNN.
Okay.
Fox just gives the name of the man who wrote the article, a guy named Robert Charles.
Would be obvious to a reader.
Well,
that
no,
it's analysis.
Really, what he was talking about were facts. The fact that Nadler ignored House rules. I mean, is that an analysis, or the House rules are pretty obvious. So if he ignored them, he dismissed Republican motions and refused 40 attempts to permit committee debate, regular order, and amendments. Now, how many times have you heard the Democrats say, "Well, we need debate. We need to talk about."
Must
this.
Be the chair's prerogative, though, to
oh,
do
I'm sure
that.
It is. I'm sure it is.
So.
But is that fairness? In other words, again, instead of governing, these people are playing politics.
Well, it's bad governance. And so we're going to take a decent political leader around here, whether it's Mark Friedenberg or Fred Keller, who, incidentally, they're debating tonight in WVIA, and I'm going to be there.
Yes, you are. You're going to be one of the stars of the
show. But anyway, we're going to take...
Are you going to wear a dress up?
I'll have to wear a tie.
A jacket?
Yes.
All right.
I'm not getting the suit out, though.
So if you want to see the strikingly handsome Mark Lawrence tonight on WVIA at, what, 8 o'clock?
Yep.
8 o'clock.
Sport coats only. No suits, they said. You don't have to dress that far up. All right. But anyway, we're going to take these two individuals, both of whom are, seem like reasonable leadership potential, and we know Fred is a decent political leader. You're going to send them to Harrisburg so that their voice is diluted, and when they go through the spreadsheets and say, this doesn't add up, or when Mark says, well, this idea of building a wall is frivolity, no one's going to listen to the voice of common sense, because people who support the president want the wall, and people who oppose the wall, with reasonable reasons to do so, aren't going to heed.
Well, here's what Robert Charles said in his piece on Fox, and obviously this is commentary. He said, Nadler staged a lawless, disgraceful committee session Wednesday intended to ramrod his personal views and political agenda down the committee's throat, embarrass and demean Barr, and humiliate President Trump. And meanwhile, over on CNN, they had another opinion piece saying Barr's performance was disgraceful and humiliating.
Okay.
So here we are. We're being told what to think by both sides. Isn't this stupid? The report is out. I mean, if you want to read Mueller's report, 420 pages or whatever?
448
pages.
Half of it is
indices
and so on.
Well, you can download it off the internet. You can read it for yourself.
Amazon says one of their top-selling books right now is the 448-page report in a book.
Oh, really? So they put it in big
people are book yeah, right, and hundreds of thousands of copies are selling.
Well, I mean, the thing is, he didn't come up with anything actionable. The results that were on the books before the report was released are the results. Nothing else has changed. Mm-hmm. No new indictments, no new charges filed. Can't even make a decision as to whether or not the president obstructed justice. Then the argument is...
Well, he did so in name only.
Well, can you obstruct justice if there's no underlying crime?
Well,
you can.
Yeah, we know that's true.
Yeah, we've had Bill Clinton. That happened to Bill Clinton because what he did to Monica Lewinsky wasn't an underlying crime because both were consenting adults, but it was something he was impeached for. So, but he lied under oath, and that, of course, is a crime.
Mm-hmm.
So the president didn't meet with Mueller, so he didn't lie under oath to the guy. As you point out, he does apparently lie some other times.
You don't notice it?
Well, if I say to you, hey, Mark, what's today's date? And you say to me, Joe, it's Tuesday. Or what's the date? What's the date?
It's
Tuesday.
The second.
All right. So how have you harmed me? Unless I had something pending.
Oh, so the president's lies are harmless. Well, I couldn't. I think that's a fair statement.
I mean,
a
the
lot
size
of, the
of his crowd, it's opinion. I mean, people go back to the inauguration. Oh, my crowd was bigger than your crowd.
Right. I think it's embarrassing that our president prevaricates
I will agree
most
with you
of
on
the
that.
Things that he says. But by the time it gets down to what does the tariff policy look like on paper, that's not woven into it. Or if he's talking about, what we're going to do related to the economy or something, by the time it gets down to the actual policy, the executive order isn't full of lies or anything. It's just what he says. But, you know, maybe that doesn't have a direct impact
well,
on the actual...
Well, if your opinion is inaccurate, does that make it a lie? If you have an opinion about something,
well, not
you
if
express
it's an
it.
Opinion. Opinions
well, but,
vary.
I mean, but if your opinion is wrong...
Well, how could my opinion be wrong if it's just my opinion? It's
well,
my
if your
perspective.
Opinion, let's say, well, your perspective is incorrect. Let's say that.
So it's my opinion that the sky is green.
Right. You believe it's green. You, for whatever reason, you've come to believe
but
that, and you state that.
Red.
You state that. Are you a liar? It
no,
isn't. It isn't that color.
Not a lie. I don't think you lie if you have the wrong opinion. You're just a Republican. We're going to take a quick break here. We got the
very good, Mark.
CBS News coming up, and we'll check some local news headlines. And we're here from the Sunbury Motor Company, too. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
And welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You are welcome throughout our program to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, as one individual has done. We'll read that shortly. You can text us at 70236, as three individuals have done. So we'll read those texts coming up. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you have not yet signed up for Text Connect, you can do so at wkok.com. It's in the Reach Out to You, Connect with Us pull down, but it tells you how to do Text Connect, sign up for the email, or whatever you'd like to do. We can get you hooked up. Follow us on Twitter at 1070 WKOK, and you can follow us on Facebook. Make sure you click for us to be seen first on Facebook as well. Some very brief news headline. Taxes may be raised 1.6 mils in the Midwest School District to cover the implementation of a district police force and the hiring of a student assistance program liaison. That'll help further mental health concerns in the district, says Joseph Stroop, Director of Curriculum and Instruction.
Person would run our SAP teams, which their basic function is to go out and connect our students and our families with outside resources such as counseling for drug and alcohol or mental health services.
District Business Manager Amy Simmons says the 1.6 mil proposed tax increase will not go to the planned renovation of a stadium at Midwest. Big recognition for five Valley schools: Danville's 30th in the state, Lewisburg's 57th, Warrior Run's 138th, Selinsgrove 168th, and Mifflinburg 204th. It is on the U.S. News and World Report latest rankings. Danville cracked the top 1,000. Considering there's about 20,000 high schools in the U.S., that's pretty darn good. In Harrisburg, the cost of the Jerry Sandusky child molestation scandal, the Penn State child rape cover-up scandal, if you will, at Penn State, has included millions of dollars for the salary of Graham Spanier. He's still on staff. His many criminal activities are thought to have been related to his function as a staff member, so the university continues to pay him. He's on administrative leave. They also pay for his millions of dollars in legal expenses, which are about to grow since his conviction conviction was thrown out, and the state attorney general says he plans to appeal the judge's ruling, and if necessary, it will be the court's ruling, and if necessary, file a new set of charges against Graham Spanier. So the saga continues. At some point, I know that we should put Graham Spanier in jail, but do you think another $1 million, is it worth it?
Well, you're missing the point of
it. Okay.
The point was that he was convicted under a law that didn't exist at the time the offense was committed.
Right. No, I understand the anomaly. Now the question is, do we go back to the old law? You know, he's had this hanging over
his head.
If he's
guilty under the old law, yes. Should have charged him under that to begin with. I mean, the prosecutors are the one who's cost us all this money and time.
$1.5 million worth the price?
I don't know. If you get it right, I guess it is. But if you get it wrong, I don't think it is.
Okay. Good. Just checking. I mean, nobody wants to get anybody off the hook at Penn State. So.
Well, I mean, if he's guilty, if he didn't do the right thing, then he certainly should pay the price. But I don't think you can charge out of fairness in our country a guy under a statute that wasn't in force when he was when the crime was allegedly committed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, would you agree with that? You want to be charged. The speeding limit on your street has now been reduced 10 miles per hour, so they get back and find you.
No, I understand that. But it's a terrible crime that he did by not doing something, and he should be punished.
Well, not doing enough, apparently. He did something, but not enough. Wasn't that what the argument was?
Well,
I'm trying to be fair here. This is a terrible situation.
I'm trying to be pointed. But I think at this point, I think he's suffered a little, and many, many other children suffered a lot because of his misdeeds, but I think we've taken this as far as we can. Another million or so, it wouldn't help, and Graham Spanier should be off the payroll ASAP. Should have to pay back everything. All right. One other sentence, and then we'll get, or one other story. Better fiscal times are continuing for Pennsylvania as the state reports stronger than expected tax collections amid the best stretch of collections in at least a decade. The State Department of Revenue said Wednesday it has collected $828 million, or 3% above expectations through 10 months of the fiscal year. It's collected a total of $29 billion through 10 months, a bump of 7% in tax revenue over this point last year. Much of the extra cash could be absorbed by unbudgeted costs in the current fiscal year. In February, the governor proposed a $34 billion spending plan for the fiscal year beginning this July, including nearly $500 million for the current fiscal year. Wolf is asking lawmakers for $1.9 billion in new spending, or nearly 6% of this year's enacted budget of $32 billion. So when the economy booms, they get to waste more money. Is that what I'm hearing here? Is that what AP just wrote? I'm not sure. We're talking about William Barr and Robert Mueller and President Trump.
As Calvin Coolidge once said, nothing attracts attention like a large pile of money, especially government money, because it doesn't appear to belong to anyone in particular, so the temptation to bestow it upon someone is overwhelming.
Well, how about the massive pension debt in Pennsylvania, or the massive turnpike debt? I don't want to give the turnpike any money.
Well,
but
and the state police, funding of the state police.
Oh, no. We're going to find a new way. We have some extra money, so we're going to find some way to...
Well, we're going to buy something we didn't have before. You know, that's what you do with found money, right?
We're going to start a new agency that'll look at fiscal responsibility.
Well, that isn't going to happen. So.
Well, they will. It'll just be ineffective. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We're talking about President Trump and the U.S. Attorney General William Barr. And Mr. Chris is on the line. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Yeah, good morning. And let's see. It was some editor of the in the 20s, the editor writer for the Herald Tribune.
H.L. Mencken.
H.L. Mencken, who said that American politics is jackals worshipped by jackasses.
What? Repeat that. You were cracking up, Chris. It's worth hearing. So repeat it.
American politics is jackals. Is jackals worshipped by jackasses?
Jackals worshipped by jackasses.
Worshipped. Yes.
That's what I thought you said. Okay.
And it's never been more true than today. But as long as we don't say deplorables, I guess that's okay, right?
Well, you can say whatever you want to.
I'm here to talk about BS Barr, as I call them.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. One of the things Congress has the power to do is checks and balances on the executive branch. and Barr is refusing to show up for the House committee.
We showed up for the Senate. What more are they going? What's the House going to ask the Senate didn't ask?
The House has the right to do that too, and the Senate is run by Republicans.
Oh, okay. So the Democrats didn't get any chance to question him yesterday. I see.
Different Democrats.
They're still senators, most of them running for president. You mean they're incapable?
They still have the right to examine the executive branch.
They did.
Don't they? That's constitutional law.
They did yesterday. They examined it in great detail.
The House didn't?
Well, the House doesn't need to if the Senate did.
Oh, then so you only needed the House investigating Nixon and not the Senate, too?
Well, in the end, the Senate if the House impeaches... If that's what they're going to do, then yes, they need to conduct an investigation.
Well, they got to inquire, too, don't they?
But we're talking, Chris, we're not talking about impeachable offenses here. We're talking about a debate over whether or not Mr. Barr misled people with his summary. That's basically what the hearing was about yesterday. It wasn't about anything substantive. It was just about that.
Well, it's about a lot substantive now that Barr has said basically the president has the right to fire anybody who's investigating him if he, in his opinion, doesn't think it's justified. That's what Barr said yesterday.
Should he have that
right or
not? Don't
you think that deserves further questioning?
I think it has to be on a case-by-case basis when the president actually does something. Not talks about it, but actually does it.
The president did do something. He did a lot of things.
He talked about it. He didn't fire Mueller. He didn't impede the investigation.
Okay, if you try to impede the investigation by trying to get somebody fired, is that much different than shooting at somebody with a gun you didn't know was empty?
Didn't get anybody fired, Chris.
Right, didn't get anybody killed. But still, you don't go around firing guns at people just because... When they're not
a good analogy.
You didn't know they were empty and a gun was empty.
Not a good analogy. Not a good analogy, Chris, because no one's going to die over Attorney General Barr's comments yesterday. Someone could die if a gun isn't loaded. So that's not a good analogy.
Yes, but the president is impeding justice whether or not the gun was empty. He's trying to. He's attempting to.
All right, but if I attempt to break the speed limit, but I don't, my foot won't go down on the gas pedal, I haven't committed a crime.
No.
That's my point. He hasn't committed a crime. Even Mueller couldn't determine that he committed a crime.
He's attempted to, and that's the same as obstructing justice under that law.
Why didn't your hero Mueller indict him?
Not being able to is not against the law.
Chris, why didn't your hero Mueller indict him then?
I've explained that to you several times. Barr had a nickname that William Sapphire gave him.
I'm waiting.
1992, cover-up Barr. cover-up general. The cover-up general. Because of all the things he had done earlier to cover up presidential crimes, which I've already listed on this show.
All right, we've got another caller waiting, so you'll have to summarize, Mr. Chris.
Summarize. Well, the short answer to Joe's question is that according to the rules of the Department of Justice, he's not allowed to indict the president, and he's not allowed to say somebody who should be indicted if he doesn't do the indictment. And that's perhaps one of the main reasons he didn't get indicted. And he also, Barr lies openly about what's in the report all the time. Every time he mentions the word collusion, he's lying because there's nowhere is there collusion in the report. It's not a legal term, so it's not a term that Mueller ever used. So he's lying there. He was lying about that Mueller implied that Congress should be getting the information because they're the only ones who can act on it. And now they're trying to keep the report from Congress.
They're not keeping it from Congress. It's already out there. The only thing that's been redacted.
They're keeping the investigation. They're keeping the some redacted parts, not many.
So Mueller lied. Mueller was incompetent.
All the evidence.
Mueller was incompetent. Congress. His investigation was incompetent. He couldn't figure anything out. He was in the pocket of Republicans.
Oh, now we're talking about D.S. Joe, huh?
No, all I'm right. just saying. You're saying all this stuff, but, you know, none of it
I
is substantial.
I didn't say it was in the pocket of the Republicans.
You're saying...
I never said anything of the kind.
No, but you, right. well, you didn't hear me, but anyhow, go ahead.
Got to cut you off. Thank you so much, Chris. Really, really, thank you. Really appreciate it. Bill, stand by. We will be right back.
Hometown, such a warm and friendly word. A place of comfort, confidence, and friendship. And as the song goes, everybody knows your name. In today's culture of fast food service and big box mentality, it's nice to know that we can still rely on the warm and friendly comfort of Hometown Pharmacy. There's one near you. Friendly, knowledgeable staff that not only know you by name, but know your meds and know what's best for you, right down to the over-the-counter meds for those quick day-in, day-out situations that may arise. Your Hometown Pharmacy. That hometown feel that we all want. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. In Mifflinburg, it's Trutz Pharmacy on Chestnut Street. Bloomsburg, it's the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street. And the Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Your hometown is calling you. Your independent hometown pharmacy. Every season, every day.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, 1-800-795-9565. Bill, thanks for patience. You're on the mark.
Yeah, where do you start? And the reason why Mr. Barr didn't refuse to go was because the House, run by Democrats, which are all prosecutors and former attorneys, wanted him to be questioned by their attorneys, and the law's not written that way. You run for office, you ask the questions, like in the Senate, and they're constantly, the Democrats are constantly changing and make their own rules. He's not going to go there and be badgered by, it's like someone off the street or an attorney, whoever they decide to point to ask the questions. They're in office to do that. That's the reason why he didn't go. The second thing is, this big long report, Mueller, when they were crossing him yesterday, all these prosecutors, right, especially Carmela Harris, when you take the facts, Mueller did all the fact finding, spent all the money, did everything, got all the reports, and gave it to Barr to make a decision. He didn't want to make the decision. Now, when she's in position, she takes all her evidence from the police and whoever, and they present it to her as a judge, she makes a decision on that, and that's what Mr. Barr did. He made a decision on all the facts, and then she was trying to cross-examine him to get her 2 seconds of fame, which she's going to get her couple votes, that did Mr. Barr review all the facts? There's no way he could review 2 years and $30 million worth of wasted stuff to come up with a result. Now, that being said, these people aren't satisfied with that. You know, and Mr. Barr did what he had to do. He made the decision. And then once he got the report, they wanted immediate response. They wanted it released ASAP. I mean, he had to review like 2 years worth of stuff to release a report to the public, and he released more and above and beyond his duty as far as what he released, and that report is in the Judicial House, wherever they have it, can be reviewed by all the Democrats and Republicans, and in its entirety. And not one Democrat has gone there to review it because they can't take their attorneys with them to review it. Only two Republicans went to review the full report in its entirety.
You mean without redactions?
But, yeah, it's available, but they have to go there to everybody has what was released, even the Democrats. But to see the whole report, they are allowed to go
and look at it by themselves. Not one Democrat has done that. Now, they can't take their attorneys with them. That's why they won't do it.
They have to do it in a secure room, too. I mean, it's so there's no leaking.
That's correct. And a secure building and everything. And only two Republicans, and Lindsey Graham is one of them. I forget the other gentleman. And but it's a constant witch hunt, and I can't wait till the next year or so when all these people start falling and then they get indicted. And this whole corruption scheme comes out, because now nobody can run. The only one that has a chance of beating Trump is Buttigieg, because
Buttigieg,
whatever his name is, because the I call them the Democrats, but the Democrats are all in corruption right now, and he's an outsider as a mayor. He's their only hope to come in as an outsider in the Democratic Party to run against Trump. And the only way he's going to win is if Trump beats himself by saying something silly with a tweet. But, you know, he got to come, like, out of nowhere, like a Jimmy Carter or somebody. Like, because no one right now, when all this stuff starts happening, has a chance at winning the nomination, because the Democrats know they're done. They're done this next election.
What's interesting to me is that at the House Committee, the House Judicial Affairs Committee, what would have held the hearings this morning, has, I think, like 20-some Democratic members, and something like 16 or 18 of them are attorneys. So why can't they?
Correct.
Why aren't they qualified to ask the questions? Why do they have to bring in other attorneys? And then Jerry Nadler is saying that, oh, he's panic-stricken, Mr. Barr's panic-stricken about facing a competent attorney. I think that says volumes about his own members in the Senate, or the House, rather, that they're not competent attorneys.
No, why are they even running? The laws are written that they're the people elected by the people to go in there to conduct these hearings. You just can't have Joe Schmo, hey, I pick you, you go in there and drill this guy. You know, and right there, they're there with people whispering in their ear. They're not running their own campaign or their own funds or whatever. You know, it's you know, they're just puppets.
Yep.
And
you make some good points.
Not, the rules are the rules, and Barr knows the rules better than anybody. He said, listen, I'm not going to be drilled by your attorneys, because the law, I went above and beyond the law. I didn't have to release what I did, but I did. Okay. All I had to do was give a yes or no answer, and he went above and beyond and released all that information.
All right, we
Fair
got
enough.
You.
Hey,
thank you so
lot.
Much, Bill. Appreciate the opinion.
Call again.
We are reflecting on the Attorney General, U.S. Attorney General William Barr's testimony yesterday. One of our listeners sends us a text. Oh, this relates to the southern border.
Well, no, the top one doesn't. He says, so Chris says Barr is covering up something, and Mueller is clean as the wind-driven snow. I think the four men falsely imprisoned in Massachusetts with Mueller's knowledge would disagree. That's right. A couple of them died in prison.
All right, 1-800-795-9565, the telephone number. Dale, you're on the mark.
Yeah, I just say, we're at this whole investigation, you know, our laws are based on theory. So what we have now is two theories. And I think Barr is the poster child for the Bar Association. So everybody who says, you know, Democrat.
Well, yeah, they named it after him. They named it after
him. Yeah, that's what I figured. But everybody says, you know, Democrats are lying and Republicans are lying. Well, you know, just stand back, look at it. They're both selling snake oil. It depends on what snake oil you want to buy. So the only law theory I believe in is the Lord. And I think everything's coming to light now, and everybody's going to stand back and look at the situation where they're self-destructing, which we need them to do. And the media's helping us out with that. But I just say, ain't no one going to jail. Ain't no one. They all sold snake oil, and they gave, you know, the Bar Association got a cut. So they're all going to get plea deals. So whoever's hoping
no one's going to jail,
locked up, they're wishing, well, that's fairy tales. They're not going to jail. They already gave, you know, the Bar Association already got their cut. So, you know what I mean? They're good stewards. So I just say, you know, the Lord is the theory you got to live by, but everybody can live the way they want to live. It's funny, though.
Okay.
It is funny. All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate the call, Dale. That is funny, but not funny. Joe, read text. This relates to my comment about the southern border, I assume.
Mark, the people that are for a wall on the southern border are for national security and the rule of law, and it just happens to be a concern of Trump's. The people that now oppose a wall on the border used to support a wall on the border and voted for that wall and the funds to build it. What changed? I'll tell you. Trump is president of the United States. Things are worse than they've ever been on the border, with the Mexican cartels gaining power daily.
All right, now this.
And David from Fisher's Ferry says, good morning, fellas. There are many crises going on today with our country, all serious, especially since our congressional liberals are doing absolutely nothing except being a hate group and hurting us in the process. Hence, I have a request. I would like you to extend an invitation to your listeners this morning to anyone out there who thinks that there is no problem on our southern border, our nation is not being the destination of thousands upon thousands of illegals, and that Donald Trump has caused this problem, not the Democrats who have invited these people here and say it's all Trump's fault. He has created this. I'd love to hear their reasons and how they could possibly believe themselves and be rational about their opinion, and no free passes, by the way.
All right. Thank you, David. Much appreciated.
Glad he got that off his chest.
I know. And Joe shouts and reads it faster when it's capitalized. I noticed that, too. You don't just say, this morning. It's this morning. But that's fine. That's all good.
Would you like me to say it loud, slower?
You didn't.
I don't want to pin the needles back in the VU meter over in the control room.
You didn't change your tenor when...
Well, I don't know how to deal with the bold face. Boldface italics. I can't do boldface italics.
Yeah, this
I can
guy
do yelling.
Does it all.
Right.
Well, there's no underscore there. Come on, David. You have to have an underscore.
Maybe I should do it in a voice like, there is no. Would that work?
I don't think so. All right.
We're not making fun of his comments, just he's very aggressive in typing.
Right. And it does a lot of capital letters, a lot of bold face, and a lot of italics.
And just so you know, Dave, we have to read.
What is it? Italicizing.
Well, he uses very large fonts, which you have to reduce in order to get them on the screen.
Right, so it fits on the screen. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is another listener sends this note.
Says, committees are allowed to use others to question witnesses. Remember Sam Dash? Remember the Republicans supported a woman during the Kavanaugh hearings. The reason they are doing it is because five-minute segments may have drawbacks, especially when a witness is good at stalling.
Okay.
But the rules are the rules. I mean, what you've done in the past determines what you've done in the future.
Isn't it whoever's in charge of that particular house gets to set the rules and change them sort of, not whimsically, but as they see fit?
Well, in the past, apparently the precedent here is that cabinet members have not been subjected to, unless they are charged with a crime, have not been subjected to attorneys grilling them when they go to speak to Congress.
Okay.
The congressmen and the senators are the ones who speak to them. You know, so that represents the change here.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We will take a quickie break. When we come back, we'd love to have you on the line. Yep, we got a caller coming in. 1-800-795-9565. All right. Dan Fogelberg and Eric Weisberg, twin sons of different mothers. Another great piece of music. That's why we have Rob over there to just play fabulous music that you can hear occasionally on his station, Eagle 107. 1-800-795-9565. We're wrapping up our reflections of the Mueller report. Well, and Attorney General William Barr's testimony about that and some other subjects yesterday, including mostly getting grilled on his four-page summary, which let's suppose it was the terriblest summary in history. So what, I guess, comes to me. Let's get something done in Washington.
Well, here's what's interesting. In his attempts to force Barr, and this is talking again about Jerry Nadler and the House, which is what Chris was talking about when he called, in his attempt to force Barr to undergo formal cross-examination by outside counsel, a practice reserved for witnesses of questionable truthfulness and inscrutability, Nadler stiff-armed dozens of Republicans' attempts to simply offer motions, debate, clarify, amend, or adjourn the hearing.
Hmm. Well, Barr saw this coming a mile away. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Somebody's writing in about our precedent.
Says, so in the age of Trump, he can break precedents whenever he wants, but Congress has no right to?
Yeah, Joe.
Well, this wasn't the president we're talking about. It was the Attorney General, not the president.
Mm-hmm. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Paul, you're on the mark.
Okay. Of all the time that you people have been on the air and all the people that have called in and voiced their opinion, what has this program resolved?
Oh, my gosh. Hundreds of people have told us that they're glad that we expose certain topics. And if they're liberal, they say, well, I always like hearing from some of the good callers or Joe who dig into these things. Or if they're conservative, rarely will I point out anything they learn from. But our callers, you know, Chris or others would say something they hadn't thought of. We've had dozens of candidates come through here. I wouldn't be able to quantify how many minds have been changed.
Well, we're not in the business of solving the world's problems, Paul. We're in the business of discussing issues that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley and
okay.
our country.
Here's a point that I would like you to take in view. What you are discussing now is something that I recall, and that was at a trial. They said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he said, "If I am king, it is because you called me king, not that I am."
Okay.
I think his response was, "You have said so."
If you say so.
If you say so, right.
Something like that.
If it's written, it's a fact then.
So your point being, you do have a point, I'm assuming.
I do, and that is you guys are calling Trump president, and the only reason that you are doing that is not because he is.
I beg to differ. That's exactly why we're calling him president. We're not in the habit of calling people president who aren't president.
Yeah, and the day after the election in particular, I would have loved to not have to call him president, although he wasn't yet, but he was president-elect. But since then, I've had to acquiesce.
Well, I'll wait to that, because up until the next president, we consider him the commander-in-chief.
Right. No argument there. I'm with that. I don't do that. Some people, like when President Obama was elected, you know, the Republicans were wearing the not my president, you know, and they would never, admit that they serve under an African-American president or things like that. And then when President Trump was elected, of course, the people who went apoplectic said, well, he's not my president.
I don't know of any Republican who said they wouldn't serve under an African-American president.
Oh,
what
yeah.
Republican are you talking about?
This was when the Tea Party was just getting started, and the rallies were very, very racist. Certain elements in the rallies were very racist.
This is the same thing that Truman told MacArthur when he said, when he went to Korea. He said, "You may not like Harry Truman. You may hate his guts, but you better respect the title in which he holds."
Well, not exactly, but anyway, pretty close.
That's close, and they didn't meet in Korea.
It was Africa, right?
No, they met in one of the islands in the Guam, I think.
Okay. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Thank you, Paul. Good conversation. 1-800-795-9565. Yeah, I call him President Trump. He is my president. I did not vote for him.
Whether you like it or not.
I didn't vote for him, but that's not how the Electoral College works. No, but since he did get elected, it's obvious there's something significantly wrong with the Electoral College, and we have to change it.
Oh, come on.
We had that argument 2 weeks ago.
Yes, we did.
Why did we have that argument? Oh, because the presidential candidates say it's time to fix the Electoral College.
Right.
That
well, again,
that
they didn't like the results, so let's change the rules.
All right, 1-800s. We're going to wrap up, Mr. Barr. Is this it? We don't have any texts or emails related to that.
No, we don't. Representative Omar has managed to put her foot in her mouth again, so we can discuss that when
we
come back.
Well, let's do that. Yeah, we'll take a quickie break. This will be the pivot point in the show. We're headed towards the last 15 minutes of the program, so speedy dialers would want to move toward the phone. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. That is 1-800-795-9565. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
What's it called?
1-800-795-9565. American History.
That's what it's called. 19565.
From the beginning.
From the beginning.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We would very much love to hear from you. We got open phones, speedy dialers only at this moment.
We have 12 minutes left in the program. We could take a slow dialer if they really worked at it.
Well, you could take 6 minutes to dial. You'd still be fine.
Right. So we were talking about our friend Representative Ilhan Omar. She now has come up with another outrageous claim. She suggested Wednesday the United States could be partly to blame for the ongoing turmoil in Venezuela, saying the politics of the Trump administration had, quote, kind of helped lead the devastation. Appearing on Democracy Now!, a news program broadcast on PBS, among other outlets, Omar was asked to weigh in on what the host described as the U.S.-supported coup attempt, boy, there's a loaded one, against Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. A lot of the policies, this is Ilhan Omar speaking, a lot of the policies that we have put in place has kind of helped lead the devastation in Venezuela, and we have sort of set the stage for where we are arriving today. This particular bullying and use of sanctions to eventually intervene and make the regime change really does not help the people of countries like Venezuela, and it certainly does not help and is not in the interest of the United States. She added that there are finally lawmakers who have been elected to Congress who agree with her views. Really, this woman needs to be taken off the Foreign Affairs Committee immediately. She doesn't have any understanding of what's going on there. The Venezuelan people have suffered not only under Maduro, but under his predecessor. You know, a country that once was the pride of South America, with all the oil revenue they had a good quality of life for their people.
Well, they still do.
No, they don't. They're bankrupt. They are.
They don't have any revenue now.
Well, they have the revenue, but it's just being frittered away and wasted. Now, Maduro is an idiot. He was a bus driver who was put there by, I'm trying to remember the guy who was there ahead of him who was just as bad, one who didn't like the United States. Well, we'll think of his name directly. But, I mean, you know, what's going on down there is the United States and 60 other countries are backing the guy who actually beat Maduro in the election. And Maduro won't leave. Supposedly he was all set to get on an airplane.
So we
the
should
Russians
be hands
told him
off.
To stop. Well, should we or shouldn't we?
Well,
I mean, on I one know. Hand, we're saying we don't want all these people flowing out of these South American countries. And then when we try to do something to help make life better for one of the countries, you know, people are saying, like Ilhan Omar, well, we're making a bigger mess
down there.
Sticking
our nose in where it doesn't belong, in my view.
You really think so?
Well,
you've got to be kidding.
Can't we just let people argue and do their, you know, figure their own stuff out for a
change? Let Maduro turn weapons on his own people?
Well, unfortunately, tragically, people don't behave the way I want them to. A lot of people don't. And obviously, that's a tragic instance there. But almost no one behaves precisely as I want them to. So, you know, I just can't intervene everywhere around the world every time somebody behaves in a way that I think is so anomalous that I have to shoot back for on behalf of someone else.
So, in other words,
we have enough problems here without going, cherry picking all these countries.
So you're standing on a street corner and you see a 3-year-old child wander into the street in front of an oncoming car. Your reaction is, well, I'm not going to do anything about that because it's really not my responsibility.
No, that's the kind of thing that I can intervene. That's the kind of stuff that I
can
do.
Well, and we can intervene in Venezuela, and we can make a difference there for those people. They have no medicine. They have no food. They're running short of everything.
One is in our world. It's in our country. Individuals who live in that country should pick and choose how they want to go. Go ahead. Chris, go ahead. You're on the mark.
Yeah, I understand that Pompeo yesterday... Well, I guess it was the day before it was reported yesterday. He issued a statement telling Maduro not to leave the country. Maduro was rumored to be going to Cuba. Whether it was true or not, I don't know.
Well, you got it wrong. He was on the plane, and the Russians told him to get off.
And the Russians told him to get off, and then Pompeo issued a statement that if he leaves for Cuba, you know what's going to happen. Some kind of veiled threat that was weird, just plain weird, and seemed to be not in what the Trump administration is working for, because if he left the country, then the guy we were supposedly backing, it seemed like, would have an open shot at the taking over. And so why was Pompeo sort of threatening not to leave the country? It's totally bizarre to me.
I didn't even hear that quote.
I don't understand.
Where did you see that? Where did you see that story?
It was on one of the news channels.
I didn't see anything like that. What I saw was that the Russians told Maduro to get off the airplane, that he was actually, they had arrived at an agreement. He was going to go into exile in Cuba and leading the way for the Republic, or for the socialists we sponsor.
Check it out on the internet, though. But if you check it out, I think you'll find out that Pompeo issued this bizarre statement that didn't make any sense. But I'll check it. Since
all right,
neither of us know for sure, I'll hang up now.
Thank you, Chris. Okay. Appreciate the call. One of our listeners sends us a note on our previous conversation. Says the issue is congressional versus executive powers. I'm not sure how they can call the president. They can decide how to ask questions. It's perfectly legal when you're in charge of a hearing to ask the questions as you wish to. Let me talk about the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummels Wharf. They got lots of details about them at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to do as I did just a few weeks ago. That's go to the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. They're always super glad to see you there. They say, hey, Mark, what's wrong now? Not because our truck keeps breaking down, but because we got so many vehicles here, we're always taking one for an inspection or an alignment or a car wash or whatever it takes. But that's what they do at the Quick Lane. They take super deluxe, extra wonderful care in a big fat hurry. They're on North 4th Street in Sunbury. They specialize in all types of service on vehicles, state inspections. They'll pump you up with nitrogen. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. I tell them I got a trip up to WVIA tonight in Wilkes-Barre, so they give the vehicle the once-over. They make sure that it's good to go. The belts are tight. The tires are pumped up. The inspection's good. The seats and and we're ready to hit the road, and the windshield is clean. That's what they do for you. Trip checks at the Sunbury Motor Company, inspections, alignment, body work, you name it. Just isn't anything you can do to a vehicle where they're going to have to send you to someplace else. Even upholstery, they'll make sure that your seats are sewn up good, because they take good care of everybody. The Sunbury Motor Company, sunburymotors.com is their website. They certainly hope that they see you soon.
I found an answer to at least one of the questions Chris raised. Yesterday, Pompeo did give an interview, and he said this: the president has been crystal clear and incredibly consistent. Military action is possible, and he's talking about military intervention possible in Venezuela. If that's what is required, that's what the United States will do. We're trying to do everything we can to avoid violence. We've asked all the parties involved not to engage in that kind of activity. We'd prefer a peaceful transition of government there, where Maduro leaves and a new election is held. But the president has made it clear, in the event that there comes a moment, and we'll all have to make decisions about when that moment is, and the president will ultimately have to make that decision, and he is prepared to do so if that's what is required. But there's nothing there about him. I can't find anything about him saying that Maduro should get off the airplane.
Okay. There's an email still in the original font.
He says, thanks for, this is from David in Fisher's Ferry again. He says, thanks for extending that invite to the listeners about the wall. I am glad to say no one called in this morning and said there is a trumped-up fake crisis on the border. There may be hope for our liberal neighbors after all. Watch Fox this evening. It's the only channel showing people sneaking to the USA. The only channel. Signed, David.
Well, I don't watch Fox. I've seen it many times. Where did I get that?
Well, there, you know, I guess the thing is there's not much reporting on this new caravan that's about 10,000 people headed this way.
No, don't talk about that.
Why not?
One of our listeners says, I watch all the channels on a regular... Oh, this is David's letter extended. I watch all the channels on a regular basis.
So you don't think there's a crisis on the southern border?
No, I don't want to talk about that. We don't talk about that.
Why? Because you don't like it?
No. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not familiar with another caravan. But, you know, honestly, we have tens of thousands of people in Central America who probably, some of whom are interested in coming to the
but
U.S.
But they're not all Central Americans. The reporting on this caravan is that there are people from a lot of different places. A lot of Cubans trying to come in. A lot of people from Africa trying to come in. A lot of people from the communist, some communist countries in the
that got to Central America, and now they're going to
guy on who explained his odyssey, and he started out through all the countries he's been through, how he's gotten there, which amazes me because where'd he get all this money? I thought these were poor people, but this guy's talking about all the countries he had to get through from Africa to get to the border with the United States, and he's part of this caravan that's now
somewhere. Well, how did he get from Africa to Central America or South America?
He went through all the countries. He didn't say exactly the mode of transportation. He did say he walked through a jungle at one point, but mostly he was talking about how he had to go from this country to the next country.
And his target is the U.S.?
Yes, his target's here. You know, so a lot of these people feel they can just get here. And the fact that, you know, catch and release, apparently they're actually running commercials on radio stations in the triangle countries in South America or Central America, telling people that once they get to the border, they will be given paperwork and they can stay in the United States. You know, so
I don't dispute that we have.
And they paid thousands of dollars for this stuff.
And we have a last-minute caller come in, and I don't dispute that we have a dilemma at the border. And I'm not anti-wall. If we have individuals that are sneaking in illegal in the U.S., I'm concerned more about Homeland Security than I am just with individuals who want to come in the U.S. to work or to cause a dilemma. We know that a lot of our heroin starts out in Mexico, so we definitely know that there's some things coming over the border. Although most of that, the U.S. immigration and really, customs enforcement says goes through ports of entry, is smuggled through. So that's something to think about. But in any event,
well, and
I'm
sure a lot of it comes in a lot of different ways. I mean, it's not a total. The wall isn't a total solution. It's a partial solution. Other things have to be done. The president, I mean, they're looking at, what, $2 trillion? They can agree on $2 trillion for infrastructure in Washington. They're going to come up with a bill, and God only knows how that's going to be funded. But they can't come up with a couple of billion to fix the border situation. Whatever it takes, whether it's a wall, whether it's heightened surveillance, whether it's more people on the ground, whether it's more judges, whether it's humanitarian, whatever it takes to fix it, there's not a resolve to do it because it's a political issue, not a humanitarian issue.
You have a nice extended 3-day retirement lengthened weekend.
I'm going to work at it.
I'll see you on Monday tomorrow. Ben Reichle will co-host with me. We'll have Bob Garrett here and Art Thomas, vice president of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, will do our analysis of the jobless situation. We'll talk about a new business that's coming to our area.
There's no jobless situation. People are working.
All right. Well, there's...
Olivia Ocasio-Cortez says there's low unemployment because everybody's working two
jobs.
That's
true. Our conversation about the joblessness is pretty short conversation. So it's 3% of the show.
And 3.2% economic growth in this quarter.
Not too bad.
Which
not too shabby. Consumer confidence is up. Dow is up. Let's see what else. I just saw wages are trickling upward. Well, we'll get another wage report.
Of course, President Trump had nothing to do with it. It was all President Obama.
President Trump could have stopped all of this growth if he had made all wrong decisions, correct?
Very easily.
Okay, so.
I always give Bill Clinton credit. You know, there was a huge resurgence in the economy in the Clinton's administration at the end of it. He was smart enough to stay out of its way.
Just like Lee Iacocca. Hire good people and stay out of their way.
Amen.
Joe, yeah, do have a good weekend. Tonight I'll be on WVIA. If you want to see some bad questions from a bad radio person who's not really handsome, you'll find out tonight on WVIA. Then tune back to WKOK.
You have your autograph?
I'll sign your paycheck in 2 weeks. This is WDK, okay, Soundbury.